we're quick to assess, you know, our business and how can I better do this and how can I better do that? But we're not reconciling our personal lives. You need to reconcile. You need to assess. You need to make sure you're moving the way that you want to move or that you should be moving. I just want to have the full experience. And these are things that don't have anything to do with real estate, but these are things that could potentially put a smile on my face or allow me to use a different part of my brain.
Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey.
All right. On today's show, we are going to talk about how to build a business that supports the life you desire, because most people get this backwards.
Yes.
Does that sound right to you?
Yes, it does, girl. That's a great topic. I'm glad we're going to bring it up today.
Yes. I think I'm actually excited to talk about this because I have struggled with this throughout my career. Mm-hmm. And so everybody listening, just know we have not figured this all out yet. We are talking about it because it is important to what's going on in our lives right now. And we want to be able to help you pay attention to the things that matter in your life, not just your business.
That's right. That's right. You know, I recently realized that you know, I've been in real estate investing full time now, almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. June is going to be 5 years. I'm doing it for full time. And I feel burned out.
Mm.
I feel like I dove in with both feet and both hands and everything was committed to getting into real estate investing full time. And it just kind of dawned on me like, okay, what are you doing? There's been, things I haven't been doing in my personal life because I've been so focused on building a portfolio, you know, building relationships, all the things that goes along with building a business. And as a result of that, my personal life, I think, has kind of like taken a back seat. And now I'm ready to kind of reorganize and restructure my priorities because it is a priority issue, I think.
Yeah. I think it's, especially when you're starting something new and it's really exciting. It can be like 100% of your focus. And then what happens is that we start getting more responsibilities connected to that thing that we were so excited about. Right. And it almost becomes like a snowball rolling down the hill. And it's like, now I can't stop if I want to.
It takes on a life of its own.
It does.
Not to say, I wouldn't say I have regrets as much as it is that I realize that I have to do a better job of balancing things out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I have to slow down or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's so good. And, you know, one of the things I do about once a quarter, and I take my mastermind group through this too, is like 90-day planning. And so digging into what are the categories of your life that are really important to you. And we talk about business last. Like, it's like your home situation, like where you live. Are you happy with your physical environment? What about time with your family, romantic relationships, health priorities? And health is, I gotta be real, okay? Health is one of the things that I feel like falls off my priorities list.
Yeah.
The fastest. I don't feel as guilty about it as I do if I'm not spending as much time with my kids.
Okay.
I want to. Okay. Does that make sense?
And that's typical of women. Okay. as women, we'll prioritize our children, we'll prioritize our mates, but we don't prioritize our own life, or our own health. So that's one of the things where we have to really be conscious about that.
That's a real. I'm glad you said it that way because I don't always think about it that way. Like. But it's true. Like you can end up the last one on your priority list.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say that I think there's this old proverb and it's like the sick, you know, the healthy man has 1,000 dreams and the sick one has one wish, one dream.
Yeah.
And so I'm being cognizant of that right now is Like, am I using being busy and taking care of everybody else around me as a reason that I'm not as focused on my health as I have been in other chapters of my life?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I would probably venture to say probably. Yeah. But now, you know, we're at a season in our life where you can really see how the two are connected. If yeah. you're not healthy, then you're not balanced. Now, yeah. when you're younger, you can kind of let things go. You don't have to exercise as much. You don't have to be as concerned about what you eat. You know, you can function on a few hours rest. But as you mature and you get older, and then that then starts to also tax your thinking and how you're processing information, then it becomes more of a weight on you as you get older than it is when you're younger. We don't rebound as quickly as we, you know, used to when we were younger.
Absolutely. And I'm also recognizing this next season of my life mm-hmm. is like, I gotta treat myself differently. My sister texted me the other day. She's like 18 months older than me. And she's like, perimenopause is hell. And I was like, tell me about it. I was like, why are we not talking about this more? What are yeah. you doing to like get rid of brain fog and like have more energy and like what's happening with you? And so I know that this next chapter, I've got to pay attention yeah. to the changes that are happening in my body because mm-hmm. I know that it's affecting me. And I don't want to be cranky with my family because I'm not taking care of myself.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, because you know, thinking about that is what it's required for you to be healthy in this stage right. of our life. Women don't talk, women nor men, because yeah. men don't know. But we tend to think of, you know, going through menopause and or perimenopause as a taboo, or we don't want to talk about it, or a hush-hush conversation. And the reality of the situation is that we should be talking about it openly, especially in an environment where it's all women.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because the reality of it is, it affects how we move and how we function. It doesn't have to shut us down, but you just have to know what it is that what you're experiencing so that you'll know how to handle what you're experiencing.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, you know, and I think for me, like I also, because of some stuff going on, I need mm-hmm. to also pay attention to my relationship with my partner.
Yes.
Because I'm showing up differently energetically mm-hmm. for my romantic relationships. And I need to pay attention because I want to be the best version of myself and not because what, and I don't know if you can relate to this. I feel like I will show up in full energy mm-hmm. for the women that I coach and I got to go live on Facebook and I got to do the podcast and I'm leading this group and I'm doing this thing. And then I'll crash for my family. Yeah. And that's not the energy that I want to show up in for the part of my life that's supposed to be my highest priority.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, you have to be conscious of that. And, you know, we have to be very careful about that because quality of life it has to become a priority as we move later into life, your quality of life, the experiences that you're creating for not just for your family, but for yourself mm-hmm. will dictate how healthy you are emotionally, mentally, all of those things. You know, like I said, when we're younger, we're looking at what we're eating. We're looking at all these other things. But as we get older, we have to lean more into the quality of life that we're creating for ourselves, the roles that we're playing in that quality of life, and yeah. not feeling guilty for taking care of yourself, for stepping away, you know, taking a breather, mm-hmm. you know, as they say, woo-sighing every once in a while, just for you. Yeah. You know, but you are the one that ignites that. You are the one that has to make sure that happens for yourself. Because
yeah.
you can best and believe that our children are making sure that the things that they want happen. Our yeah. mates are making sure the things that they want yeah. happen. So you have to take the same steps of whatever that is.
Yeah. You know, I also am all being cognizant that I am, you know, I'm 5 years into my sobriety journey. And I cannot afford to slack on self-care. I cannot yes. afford to not pay attention to my spiritual health, mm-hmm. to picking up my tools every day, to journaling, meditation, prayer, getting my head on straight. And it's not, and for me, this mm-hmm. is not a luxury. It is a life and death situation that I got to take care of my spiritual fitness so that I can show up for the long term for myself mm-hmm. and for my family and for all the people in my life that I love.
Yes. You know, and thinking about it from that perspective is that when you have those vulnerable moments, you'll have the tools to not make bad choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're feeling vulnerable. And that's everyone. I mean, I understand what you're saying in reference to your sobriety, but that's across the board, because sometimes when, you know, when you make that bad decision because you're either tired or you're, you know, you're operating from a place of your emotions, or you just find yourself not prepared for what's coming and you kind of like, okay, well, whatever happens, happens. No, it's not whatever happens, happens. You got to think about, okay, what's my plan A? Just like in business, we got plan A, plan B, you know, you got to be ready to pivot. The same thing applies to your personal life and to you personally as a woman, as a wife, as a sister, all of the things, as a mother, and as a woman, of course, you need to have a plan B or plan A, you know, plan C or whatever the case may be. So that if you find yourself like, okay, this is not such a great day. Let me try something else. Let me change my environment. Let me, you know, do something I've always wanted to do, or I used to do and I used to enjoy. Let me kind of circle back and see if, you know, that is still a place that would put a smile on an experience that would put a smile on my face, or that at least allow me to relax. And sometimes it's taking a nap, girl.
Yeah.
So you can kind of reach.
Oh, I've gotten back to taking naps on Sunday afternoons, and I'm just recognizing like how much that charges me up to just have a, you know, to take the rest and take some time and to not feel guilty about it and just say, and now I'm resting, and to be a human being, not a human doing for a little while is okay.
It is okay. You know, I mentioned to you earlier, I recently realized that, you know, my son is in the racing industry.
Yeah.
You know, he is a crew chief and he's a tuner. He's been in the racing industry but pretty much his entire adult life and even before that. And I used to go to his races all the time. And I realized this weekend that I had not been to one of his races since COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 Because, you know, as you know, right at COVID is when my son and I decided to start our real estate investing business. I'm doing it full time. He's kind of a silent partner, but I kind of dove in. And, you know, and then next thing you know, a year's gone by, 2 years gone by, 3 years has gone by. You know, and the time is being measured by how far I've how many flips I've completed or whatever, you know, that is. But for me to realize that I had not been to one of his races since COVID, for me was mind boggling.
Yeah.
You know, I love to show up for my family. I enjoy going to his races. And what's funny is I used to go to all his races. I would go so frequently. They were like, you would think your son was the driver, not on the crew. And I'm like, no, he's on the crew, but I'm here to support him. But that's something I don't want to do that. I don't want to not be present and to not participate in the things that he enjoys, because I enjoy it as well. Showing up for my son and being able to enjoy, like, admiring the man that he has become, and, you know, and watching him with his family and just like, this is perfect, you know, for me. So I hadn't gone to his race in a long time. I hadn't taken a vacation since 2018, 2019, a real vacation. I mean, like, leave the country vacation. Now we've done a few little small cruises, but not like, I like to take 10, 12 day vacations.
Yes.
You know, and I hadn't done that. So I am, that's why I'm excited or I'm more eager to wrap up all the projects that I still have lingering out there, to kind of bring them to a conclusion, let them cash flow, do whatever. And I do not plan to start any new projects until I finished the project, which is me.
Yes. I love that for you. I love that for you. And I think it's so important that people hear this from us, the women who are in the thick of it are hearing from, because you are a high performer. I am a high performer. Categorically, our results speak for themselves. But in addition to that, I'm kind of a productivity coach. Like, I coach people on time management. And I think sometimes we attach our value and our identity to how productive we are in our business.
Yeah.
The conversation needs to shift to, who do you really want to be? What do you want your life to look like? Mm-hmm. And to be intentional when you're setting yourself up for your business, or you're deciding what your next chapter is going to look like, to be really intentional about what you want your life to look like as the first priority, and then to create a business that aligns with that vision for your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I always think that it's not about the, you know, the coaching from the standpoint of real estate or business. It's about coaching the whole life, the whole woman.
Yeah.
You know, who we are, you know, in business. Okay, great. But also who you are personally, who you are in your family, you know, thinking about creating experiences. Because for me, it's not all about the money. It's all about creating positive experiences that I can pass on to my children, or to my son and to my grandchildren. It's not always about the money. So that's not what's driving me. And because it's not what's driving me, I'm willing to say no to things that other people will die to say yes to.
Yeah. Yeah. So being really intentional about not only what you say yes to, but what you say no to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's hard, because when you've been in a pattern of saying yes to opportunities and having that open hands, like magnetism that we talk about, is like, how do I become an attractor of opportunities to be the kind of person that people want to partner with, and that opportunities keep coming because you've become that person. Mm-hmm. So now you've got to learn to be the person who says no.
Right, right. The other part of that, how to the becoming an attractor, you got to finish that manifestation to the point of, but how do I also make sure I have a balanced life?
Yes.
Be an attractor and know when to balance it out, know when to say no, know when to say I could take a little bit of that and not so much of this or whatever. So it's almost like you got to finish the thought. You know, you ask God for these great things, but you have to finish that thought of what it's going to look like. And because you've never received it, you don't realize that you got to also put like bumps in the road so you don't go speeding down the hill and up over the cliff.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I first got started in real estate, I like writing down goals that included like 100 doors or something. And then I got like 10 doors and I was like, oh wait, I don't know if I want that anymore.
Right. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that dream. And because your dream can quickly become a nightmare. And I've also learned that from building businesses in the past that became a machine to feed, and that where I was more focused on hitting numbers than I was about what did I really want my life to look like.
Yeah.
And so I think today I take a much more balanced approach, and I have goals and dreams, and they primarily are to serve the areas of my life that I really are important to me, and less about being able to say I did a certain number. Like I used to be really motivated by that idea of like hitting certain numbers. And today I don't talk about that very much. And
I think that's maturity though.
Yeah.
From a business standpoint, I think that's an indication of you know, maturing and being very careful about when you're getting into something, you know, for the first time, or, you know, you're starting out fresh in a particular experience, you have to be mindful of who you're taking instructions from.
Yeah.
And if they're not balanced themselves, if everything is go, 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 produce, 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 and you don't have that piece in there that's saying, but make sure you're taking care of you, make sure you're carving out time for all these other things that's going to always be there, which is you, you know, and your quality of life, then you kind of got to be mindful of that, or be prepared to say that to yourself. Mm-hmm. If you don't see it in the examples that you have before you, then you have to be prepared to say it to yourself, or to have someone else on the peripheral that will help you to stay balanced from that standpoint. It's not about the numbers. You don't want to become, you know, I'm not trying to become, you know, someone that's, I'm only about my portfolio or my net worth. No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a starting point. I'm trying to create something that I can pass on, and they can continue to grow it and nurture it. And then they can pass it on to the next generation. It's not supposed to all happen with me. At least that's not my belief system.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think the idea of creating a sustainable business that you can pass on, or a portfolio that you can run, but it doesn't run you, is an important concept. Mm-hmm. And I think about that too, is like, if I think about what I want to pass on to my children beyond a portfolio, I want to pass on how to be the kind of wife and mom and friend and community member. Yeah. Like that's all, that stuff is way more important than the dollar amount of value that I'm going to pass on to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. You know, I've learned as I've matured over the years that it's not about the expensive gift. It's about creating experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about creating experiences. Because when you think about, you know, okay, yeah, you get a nice bouquet of roses, they're going to die. Mm-hmm. But the experience that maybe you create with your family member, and that's either through vacation or just taking time, you know, out together to walk or whatever that is to create those experiences, that has more value to me than it does trying to find the perfect gift for someone. So I kind of try to lean more into that. So even in the, from the investing standpoint, you know, because I, as you know, I invest in underserved communities. So I call myself a mission investor. That's about experiences too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about necessarily money, but making sure that that I help to, that I be a part of the revitalization of a community that needs to exist. It needs to survive. So, you know, being able to give positive things back to them so they can have positive living experiences and, you know, all of those things, they kind of tie together a little bit. But at the same time, I still have to make sure that I'm not overdoing it. I still got to make sure that I have time to do the things I enjoy doing, that I position myself to say no sometime, or at least not right now. So I'm just now really starting to kind of feel that, because I'm finding myself, I'm being tired because mm-hmm. I've been grinding for 5 years. 5 whole years. I mean, I've been grinding and I've been trying to bring everybody along with me, and, you know, but I have to grind on my personal life now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you know, I want a life partner or possibly get married again. You know that. We've talked about this several times. And I've just learned so much about myself over the last 5 to 7 years, that hopefully I'll be a healthier mate the next time around than I was the first time around, because I've learned some things about myself and how I move and, you know, the pressure I put on myself and how that inadvertently puts it on my partner as well. Creating those experiences has a lot more weight now than it had for me before.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be a healthier, not only life partner to my future partner, but also to anyone that I'm in relationship with, friends, girlfriends, you know, male friends, not romantic, but male friends, family members, and business partners, whatever. I want to be a healthier person. And I think that's why I'm trying to say out loud now, I'm tired, so that I can hear myself say I'm tired and then follow that up with, what are you going to do about it? That's the other voice.
I love that. And this is from such a deep place of intention and not of like an excuse to not be productive.
Right.
Because that's two very different things, mm-hmm. you know? And I think when you have been on a track of literally running on a track of high productivity, constantly available, doing the next deal, you know, making sure everything, everybody has what they need from me and things aren't falling apart. Mm-hmm. There's also a place where I think you have to create space for the life that you want. If you want a healthy, flourishing, romantic relationship, you got to make space for it too. Yes. Right. And I'm saying that out loud, like thinking about my own relationship, because I think we sometimes take that stuff for granted. Like, oh, he'll be fine. He'll be here. Mm-hmm. But the reality is so many people work on building a business and that becomes the number one. And then we look up and it's like, we were like, I'm going to build this business for my family. And we look up and our family is falling apart because we haven't taken care of the important stuff. And we haven't allowed ourselves to have the space to show up for ourselves or to show up for the people in our life that are important.
I agree with you, you know, on that, because I think we'll be quick to reconcile our books. We'll be quick.
No, I put that off.
We're supposed to reconcile books, okay? And we're quick to assess, you know, our business and how can I better do this and how can I better do that? But we're not reconciling our personal lives. We're not assessing our personal lives the way we, our friendships. I got some lifelong good girlfriends. I mean, we've been together for a very long time and I feel fortunate. But there's a conscious effort that we have to make to maintain that connection. You know, whether it's, let me call, I haven't talked to her in a couple of weeks, let me call and just check in or whatever. Well, we got to do the same thing in all areas of our life. We got to stop. You need to reconcile. You need to assess. You need to make sure you're moving the way that that you want to move or that you should be moving. I mean, if you got to throw some more exciting things into your life, like bowling, you always wanted to learn how to bowl. Like I always wanted to learn how to play golf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I always wanted to learn how to play golf. So as well as I've always wanted to take singing lessons.
Yes.
And learn how to play an instrument. These are things I've always kind of wanted to do for me. Now, when I got married the first time, I took singing lessons and I was supposed to serenade my husband at the time. The pastor completely forgot and skipped over it completely. So it must not have been meant to be. Maybe God knew something then. So the next time I settled down, I want to sing. I love music. I grew up with music. I need more music in my life. I love going to concerts. And I told myself that I am going to start going to concerts. If it's somebody I want to see, I am willing to go see them wherever they're performing. If they're in London, I'm going to London. Yeah. Okay. I just want to have the full experience. And these are things that don't have anything to do with real estate, but these are things that could potentially put a smile on my face or allow me to use a different part of my brain.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, girl. I love it. I love it. And you know, you were talking about like, we are, you know, quick to get our books reconciled. And the truth is, you know, I have had more appointments with my bookkeeper in the past year than I have had dates with my husband.
No,
that is the truth. Cause I meet with her almost every single Monday, no matter what. And date night gets bumped sometimes.
Oh yeah. You got to change that one.
I know. That is a harsh realization today. Thanks, Brenda.
No, you're welcome. Anytime, girl, anytime. But we have to support each other through this because we're not talking about this for you to be down on yourselves or for you to like, oh, you know, but we're talking about it just for awareness because you can't affect change in your life if you're not aware of where you are, where you're trying to go, where you're going and where you're trying to go. And then you try to reconcile those two. So, you know, like I said, for me, I have a chronic, you know, illness. I have scleroderma and is triggered by stress. Stress could literally kill me. So for that reason, there are times when I pull back. There are times when I'm not as active as, you know, maybe as other people think I should be, because I'm being very conscious and aware of how certain things that might be, you know, just another thing for you, but could take me out.
Yeah.
And if you don't know those things about me, you could be thinking like, oh, Brenda's just not engaging or Brenda's not. It's always something. And I'm like, I don't really care if that's how you see it, because I have to make a conscious decision to take care of myself. And I have additional things that I have to do and I've had to do since my early 20s to maintain my quality of life. And one of them is if you're tired, you got to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I travel, typically when I'm getting ready to travel somewhere and people are like, well, what time are you leaving? When my body says I'm rested, I don't put a time on it or anything. My body tells me, okay, girl, you ready to go. You know what I'm saying? And I had to get away from those times and those constraints because I could be, you know, I may not be well rested. I might be tired. I might be exhausted. Chronic fatigue may kick in. So for me, I have to also, that's another thing I have to be consciously aware of, is when my body tells me, slow down, go to sleep, rest or whatever, or say no, I got to do it because it will take me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is such good conversation. And I know there's so many women, I think also that we have attached, we've attached our identity, not just our value, but our identity to what we do instead of who we are.
Yeah.
And We don't know how, I mean, it's so funny because one of the exercises I take women through that are thinking about launching a coaching program, and I'm trying to help them figure out. And one of the questions I ask them is, what do you love?
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't even know. Like, I love business and I love, and I'm like, no, like I want you to, and this is an exercise. I got this from my therapist years ago. He said, I want you to write down all of the things that you love doing or that at some point in your life you loved doing. Because at the time that he asked me that question, I was running a business. I was a high performer. I had 30 team members. Like it was a stressful thing. And he said, you need to reconnect to you. What do you love? Who are you? If that whole thing went away, who are you? And I'm like, well, then I look at my other identities. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a friend. But he's like, but what do you love? Like, what is it that makes you uniquely you? Because those things you were born into or, you know, what happened in your life, and that's not who you are, because any one of those identity connected situations could go away, disappear, and then we're left with you. So who are you?
Yeah.
And I had the hardest time writing it down, but the exercise was super helpful because I thought about what did I love to do when I was a kid. And I used to take dance lessons, Brenda. Mm-hmm. When I was 16 years old, I took 5 dance classes a week. Wow. And I love to dance. And so as an adult, like, I have not, I haven't taken dance. And I told my husband this after I did that exercise, and he scheduled us dance lessons together.
That's awesome.
That's sweet.
Yes.
And it just helped me to reconnect to that piece of myself. And like, and that's so outside his comfort zone. Like, I gotta tell you, like, that is not the kind of guy that's not who I married. He's changed so much. And like,
you couldn't tell that because, you know, Andrea and I went on a short cruise together a couple of years ago. And I'm going to tell you, I love to see you guys out there on the dance floor. And you guys were cutting the rug and got us all out on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Dancing. Yeah. And you were like your happy place.
Oh yeah. So it makes us so happy. It makes me really happy. I love to sing. I love, you know, I used to do theater. I love to do creative things. And, you know, since I've been on this like mom and career path and all those things, like so many of those things we stop doing because we have all these excuses for we're so busy with our business and we're so busy with our family and all these things. And so this idea of reconnecting to what fills you with energy, how do you take care of your spirit and it's not just about not feeling tired. It's about like what lights you up and what really fills you with energy that you then can show up for those other categories of your life. But you got to do things that you love that fill you with energy and that feed your spirit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you touched on something that we both are vested in, which is therapy.
Yeah.
You know, I am a firm believer in therapy. You know, maintenance in your mind. If you're going to maintenance your health, you're going to maintenance your car. Why not maintenance your mind? Something you use every day, all day.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's not necessarily something I feel you got to do just because something's wrong or whatever. I just think it's something to do that's healthy, especially for us as women. You know, we like to use a lot of words. And sometimes the people in our life don't have the space for all of our words. So I'm going to take it to my girl, to my therapist, and we're going to talk it out to kind of help me to sort out some of the things that I didn't even realize was happening, you know, in my life. So it's, I think it's important that we do those kind of things for ourselves. It's a way of loving. For me, when I do my therapy appointment, because I see my therapist twice a month, it's like a way of me hugging myself.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's beautiful. And I can also point back to things that I've learned in therapy over the years that were some of the biggest pivotal life decision realizations that were super important for me getting to clarity of who I want to be and what I want to do. And also honestly, like saved my marriage, you know, like, and it wasn't even a couples counseling thing. It was having a real look at myself
mm-hmm.
and those conversations because, I think it's very easy to, when you're just in your own thoughts and you're processing what happened, and when we get into resentment and we get into blame, and to have someone who asks the hard questions that maybe you won't hear from your partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
You shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. Don't you ask me those questions. My therapist can ask me whatever they want.
And right.
I'm going to show up and I'm going to do the work.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, it hits different when your therapist say it than it does when your mate says it.
Oh,
and they can be saying the same thing. The same thing. But it kind of hits different, you know, when it's someone else who's, you know, not in the room. And then it makes you think like, am I really showing up like that? Is that really who I am? But when you said something earlier, and it kind of, it took me back to when I first found out I was getting divorced, when my husband came to me out of the blue and said, hey, I no longer want to be married, back in like 2011. And of course, it was one of those difficult moments for me, because I had no idea that that's what he was thinking. And I found myself, and I'd shared this with you before, but I found myself on the floor in my bedroom, you know, bawling, and then asking myself, what do you want? And I did not have an answer for that question. I had never thought about what I wanted. I was dealing with I was a teenage mother, so that my parent my entire adult life. I dealt with what my son wanted and needed. I dealt with what my husband wanted and needed, or whatever my family wanted and needed. I didn't have an answer, you know, for that question. And what do I want? That was eye opening for me.
Yeah.
Cause I had never even asked myself that question.
Yeah. And I think that that's such a powerful thing to do for yourself. And so, you know, if I could issue a challenge, a take bold action challenge this week, mm-hmm. I want to challenge our listeners to take some time and ask themselves that question. What do I really want? And you may have some answers that are related to business in there, but when I write that, and that's one of my favorite go-to prompts, is what do I really want? And then to see what flows. And it's usually about what I want my relationships to look like. It's about what I want my personal peace to feel like. You know, because I think sometimes we work so hard in our business and we are chasing we're chasing finances, but what the reason that we are doing those things is because we want peace. We want financial peace. We want freedom. And being in the energy of chasing or like trying to grasp at or to work really hard and stress ourselves out in order to create peace, you know, peace attracts peace. And so we've got to become a magnet for what we desire by embodying the thing that we really want today. And so how can you get into a place of peace so that you can be an attractor of more peace in your life?
Yeah. And I will add to that challenge. I think it's also important that we as women think about, when was there a time in my life when I was happy? What was I doing? What put a smile on my face? Was it the dance class? Was it, you know, singing for me? Was it, you know, whatever that what seems small and minute now, but when you think about when you were doing it, you know, earlier on in your life, what was that thing that you used to do? You no longer do it anymore, but it made you happy. And I say revisit that part of yourself, because she's still there. You know, she's still in there, but you want to think about it. And it could be something really, really simple. Take yourself off to coffee and people watch. I used to love the people watch, you know, so whatever that thing is, I would encourage you to kind of dig within yourself, go to that place that you've kind of not paid attention to for so long because you felt like you felt guilty, you know, for it. And even if it's traveling, even if it's, you know, taking a small trip, a weekend getaway, take a staycation without your folks. Go downtown, get that hotel room, get that spa treatment, and just give that to yourself. If you don't know what that place is, it's been so long since you've been there and since you've seen that part of yourself, then just take the time to allow yourself to center down, relax, allow your creative juices to flow, and either allow it to take you back there or create a new place that will allow you to be, that will give yourself permission to say, okay, this is about me. I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm going to disguise the limit, because this is about me.
Mm-hmm. Show up for yourself.
Absolutely. You have to. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this conversation. I love it. Thank you, Brenda, for sharing from your experience too, and being vulnerable about some of the challenges that you deal with on a regular basis. I think it's super helpful for our listeners who also struggle with things in their health and then in their life. So I appreciate you so much.
Well, I appreciate you too. You always dropping gems. See, you are always sharing and opening up. Your life is like an open book. I appreciate that about you. I think that, again, that's one of the things that probably attracted me to you. And I see you as a very authentic person. And it's important that I surround myself with authentic people, you know? So I appreciate the same things in you that you appreciate in me. And I think it's great that we're able to kind of share with our other sister girls that are out there that are listening to us. And, you know, just to let them know that, you know, you are me and I am you. You know, I am no different than you are. And we're just really here to share and to serve and to encourage and to provide as much guidance as we can and to fulfill the assignments that God has put on our lives.
Beautiful. Brenda, if people want more encouragement and to get to know you better, what is a good way for them to follow or connect with you?
Okay, you can reach me on my website, which is www.brendastroud.com. You can reach me on Facebook and also under my name, as well as on Instagram under my name as well.
Beautiful. And if you're listening today and something on the show resonated with you, I would love for you to let us know. Leave us a review on the podcast. If something really connected with your spirit and there's someone that came to mind, would you share this episode with a sister, please? And if you're a woman entrepreneur, you can also find me in my Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where I share strategies for clarity and confidence and how to make powerful connections so that you can build the business and the life that you deserve. And you can grab a spot in my upcoming workshop for free at AndreaEngstrom.com. I want to leave y'all with this. Business is a tool that enables you to live the life you desire. Business is not life. That's right. So show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.
Thank you, Brenda. That was a great conversation. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was. It really was. I think it's important that we kind of tap on that, you know, touch on that more frequently because of the fact that we don't even realize that we are so far off course until we way down the road, you know, and, you know.
Yeah. And I think some people, it takes a diagnosis or a startling event in their marriage. Awesome.
Yeah.
Before we recognize it. So I want for people to watch it before it gets to a point where, you know, be intentional and don't let it get to a place where you are forced to make a change. Let it be because you choose. Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't want anyone to experience what I've been experiencing lately. Now it's definitely an awakening for me, but I'm just now realizing that I'd hurt some people's feelings. Probably 6 years ago. And it just kind of, God brought it to light, like within the last couple of weeks, where it's like, I never thought that they looked at it that way. So of course, in me realizing that, that's causing me to kind of take a look at myself. How come you weren't able to see that? And I realized at the time when I had this experience that I was experiencing trauma. You know, and I didn't know that's what I was going through. So as a result of that, the people that I was in relationship with kind of caught the brunt of that because I was checking out. I never thought of myself as that's what I was going with at the time, but I had sold my house. I lived in like 13 years and it was really truly my home. It was a house I bought with my ex-husband. I loved living in that community. It was full of shit. Had a whole bunch of stuff. So I was like, how am I going to move all of this? It was just a lot of change. That's what triggered it for me. So many things was changing all at one time. Yeah. And then the people that was close to me at the time, I did not even think about. I was so engrossed in what I was experiencing. I didn't even think about that maybe some of the things that I was saying and doing or even just pulling back could have been hurtful to them.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think we also, sometimes that happens naturally or, and that was during a season too, where the whole world was changing. Yes. And a lot of people experience that. I say that to say, give yourself grace for a season of your life that was different and weird. And you know, you were becoming the next version of yourself. And sometimes relationships shift those seasons, and that's okay. But we also want to honor the people that we love and be the person that we want to be. And so doing those, you know, making those shifts with intentionality is really the key.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. And I was saying it's not so much from the standpoint that I was beating myself up about it, but that I think that God knew I was ready to realize that's what it was at that time. So that I could now be better moving forward, or be able to acknowledge that, girl, you don't have to carry the world on your hand, you know, on your shoulders, that, you know, this is what it looks like if you're doing too much. Mm-hmm. So now when I look back on that, you know, at that time, I can now describe it. At the time, I couldn't describe. Right up to recently, I did not know that's what I was dealing with. So, you know, so I do, I think God uses my experiences as teachable moments, but I also have to be able for me to verbalize that lesson, because somebody else will hopefully be blessed as a result of me sharing that. I was able to look back and I was able to see, like, I could have handled that differently. It's never too late to correct yourself or to bring balance to how you were thinking, and so that it won't repeat itself again. Like I said, I'm blessed with amazing people in my life and amazing friends. And they give me room to circle back, and they're the appreciation that they express when I do circle back to let them know, like, I see you. I recognize that I could have handled that differently. And from this point forward, blah, blah, blah. So it's never too late to, you know, to heal a wound or to improve a relationship, a friendship, or whatever that is, because that contributes to your quality of life as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of people drag guilt around situations. So the maturity of taking ownership of what you can own, what was your part in that, is also super healing for you personally too.
So. Absolutely. Because it's never, sometimes when you're going through things, you're always pointing the finger outward.
Yeah.
But the only person you can affect change in is yourself.
Yeah.
So that's why I have to focus on, it's not so much what they did, but what did I do, or what can I do better just to be a better person? So it's not about the blame game as much as it is, okay, in this season of my life, what am I learning from this? What am I supposed to get from this? Sometimes that's the only question I pose God. Okay, God, what am I supposed to get from this? And then I have to just be patient and let him reveal it. And sometimes it's just to share the experience, because it's not about what you're going to get from it. It's about what you share and what someone else will get from it.
Yeah.
You know, so I try to be, you know, conscious of that. I share everything, you know, I do, you know, everything from my diagnosis to what I'm dealing with as far as from the mental standpoint, as well as from the business standpoint. When people reach out to me, I answer. If someone sends me a message or someone calls me or whatever, I typically pick up the phone and say, hey girl, what you need? And people are shocked when they send me a message and I call, okay, what you need? Because I think sometimes it's important to have that, and I maybe never talk to them again, but to have that moment where I am answering my assignment. And sometimes it is encourage her.
Yeah.
Listen to her, you know, pour into her, let her encourage you. And sometimes it's just that one moment. It's not even about the person, you know, the name of the person, as much as it is creating an experience that will hopefully allow them to say, I needed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also God uses those situations to remind you of who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So when it feels like things are crazy, things are busy, and somebody needed my help, and I was able to show up even just for a few minutes to encourage and then go, that's my purpose. It's not about paying all the bills on, you know, it's not about shuffling the marketing deck and, you know, figuring out the next deal. It's being of service to others.
Yeah. Cause we're already doing amazing things. I'm manifesting that as I say it, you and I are doing amazing things. The ladies that are listening to us are already doing amazing things. The fact that you're even listening to this podcast means you're willing to invest in yourself. Whether you think it was a business investing when you pushed that, you know, let me listen, you know, or whatever you think it is, it's still an investment in yourself because you are amazing. You know, you're definitely worth the time and the energy to, you know, to encourage you and for you to encourage us. So that's, I want to remind you, you're amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. You're all amazing and God's gift. And our assignment is to sit right here where we are today to share with you what we're sharing with you, because it will never repeat itself again.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, Brenda, I was just thinking earlier this week, and this is as I was writing my book, I was recognizing that there was two pivotal stories in my book. And it was when I decided to start my real estate business and when I decided to start my coaching business. And both of those stories, I listened to a podcast and I heard something that created a massive shift in me.
That's awesome.
And I can tell you exactly what the episode was about and what they were talking about. And it was like, I heard the message and the story on that podcast. And it was two different podcasts and it absolutely changed my life. And so I'm honored to be able to be that for someone else. I hope that someday I will hear stories like that where people are like, I heard your episode about this and I took action and it changed my life. And that's the thing, right?
That is the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You're right. So, you know, being open and able to receive that, as well as being, you know, being able to, again, I constantly say, accept the assignment is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good stuff. Okay. If I'm going to keep this in the episode. So if you're listening still, thank you for joining us. Me and Brenda had a really good chat at the end of the episode today. So
absolutely.
Yeah. We love you and we're here for you and excited to be a part of your journey.
Be encouraged. Mm-hmm. Be encouraged. Mm-hmm.